The IRS has a problem. It's got lots of them, but it needs to send out refund checks to law-abiding taxpayers in a timely fashion, while also looking out for identity thieves. A new report from the Government Accountability Office says one way to do that is to change the formula the agency uses to assess identity theft fraud. Last year, the IRS handed out $6 billion in fraudulent claims. For more on the report, we turn to James White, the Director of Tax Issues at the GAO. Mr. White, great to have you on.
Good morning.
So it sounds like you found similar effects that the Inspector General of the IRS, J. Russell George, found, in that checks seem to be going out before the IRS verifies that they should. What did you find?
Yes, that's correct. Now, to its credit, IRS does have filters that it uses to try to verify tax returns before issuing refunds. And using those filters, IRS estimated that it detected $24 billion worth of fraudulent refund claims and did not pay those. Unfortunately, as you said, there's another $6 billion in claims fraudulent refunds that IRS did pay out. And once that money goes out the door, it's almost impossible for IRS to recover it. The crooks move the money around very fast, and it's impossible to trace it or recover it.
So we're not talking about people who try to evade taxes or file wrongly. This is people who have taken someone else's identity and try to intercept their payment?
That's exactly right. They've stolen the identity outside of IRS. So the theft does not occur at IRS. The crooks then use the stolen identity to make up a phony tax return. IRS does try to verify it. They do checks like verifying that the name and Social Security number on the tax return match. And if that passes through IRS's filters, the refund's paid out.
I mean, I guess if you're going to steal a Social Security number, who would not be smart enough on the crook side to put the same name associated with that Social Security number on a tax return?
Well, there are smart crooks and dumb crooks. The dumb crooks are easier to catch. As I said, IRS does stop, you know, $24 billion worth of this fraud, but the smart crooks are very adaptive. They quickly learn what IRS's filters are, and if they can figure out ways to bypass them, then they're able to steal money from the Treasury.
Well, how does the IRS ever find out that something went out fraudulently? Is that probably when someone who should have gotten a refund or filed, or maybe they get a second filing with the same name and Social Security number?
That's exactly right. Unfortunately, that's after the fact. So the crooks typically file first. They know they need to file early. An honest taxpayer files their return later in the year. At that point, IRS realizes they have two tax returns with the same name and Social Security number on them. Unfortunately, they've already paid a refund out to the crook. IRS has some other ways to detect fraud, but it's also long after the fact, long after the refund's paid. Part of what's going on here is the crooks are taking advantage of IRS's systems to get refunds out quickly. IRS issues about 100 million refunds a year. It's almost $300 billion in refunds, and people understandably want their refunds quickly, and IRS has processes that try to do that. Unfortunately, there are about a million fraudulent refund claims that get paid.
Wow, that is a big number. Now, we've just talked about some fairly easy to understand filters and simple matching technologies that flag these things. Are there more subtle filters? Can the IRS detect what something that that's outside of a norm or a band or a pattern that might indicate possible fraud?
Well, we've made recommendations. We've got a recommendation in this latest report. We've got a recommendation in an earlier report. The trick here is for IRS to detect the fraudulent tax return before the refund goes out the door. They've got to prevent the refund. Once it's issued, the money's gone. One way to do that is to move up the matching of tax returns to things like the W-2 that people get from their employer. If IRS could do that matching before it issued a refund, that could stop some of this fraud. Another approach is to do more authentication of taxpayers. Ask taxpayers some questions to try to verify their identity that way. Both of these approaches have some costs, however. They'd probably delay refund issuance. They'd impose some additional burden on taxpayers. And IRS has been doing some research on them. What we want IRS to do is provide Congress with estimates of both the benefits, that would be the amount of refund fraud that these techniques might stop, and also the costs. IRS would need upgraded computer systems to implement either of these approaches. And as I said, they have some costs on taxpayers and or employers. And so Congress needs information about those costs as well as the benefits in order to make some decisions about which approach to use, whether we do one or the other or both.
We're speaking with James White. He's the Director of Tax Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Now, there are other agencies that do bulk and large-scale checking and matching. I'm thinking of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Are there technologies and data mining techniques that they have that could be just transported to the IRS?
Well, there is fraud there as well. To its credit, IRS has done a significant amount of research now itself on this issue, so in some ways it's ahead of other parts of the federal government. It's the estimates that it's provided are based on a fairly sophisticated analysis that it now is doing to try to better understand the nature of this fraud.
It must be very frustrating for the IRS officials to know that they're sending out $6 billion in checks that aren't deserved and don't have the wherewithal financially to do anything about it.
It is very frustrating. They have poured a lot of resources into trying to combat this. So they've got several thousand full-time equivalent staff devoted to dealing with the problem. But again, the trick on this is preventing it up front. They are doing some research on that, but we think the next step is developing this benefit cost information so that Congress has some hard numbers, some actual estimates of the benefits and the costs that it can use for making decisions about how to proceed on this.
Is there any thought, or has there been thought, given by the IRS to the issue of some sort of identifying technology that is not a password, that is not a social security number, you know, that something like NIST is looking at for trusted identities in cyberspace, some kind of a token that no one could steal?
Yes. IRS is looking into that. There are a number of various variations on that theme that you described. Now, if you're going to go with some kind of token, that does start to impose some additional burden on taxpayers because they would have to verify their identity with IRS before they could get a token, and that would require some additional steps that they don't have to go through right now. So there'd be some cost imposed on taxpayers. Furthermore, you've got to find an authentication procedure that will work in the sense of weeding out the crooks, and the problem here is the crooks have stolen people's identities. So in some cases, they can pass the authentication test themselves. You need a system that weeds out the crooks, but is relatively easy for honest taxpayers to use.
Yeah, because, for example, if it was email-based and the token or some kind of a 9-digit number or something was sent to an email, if the bad people had the person's email, for whom they also have the social security number, then that wouldn't work.
That's correct.
All right, so what's IRS's reaction to this? I guess they agree with you, but it's really anything that has to do with more money and IRS in the same sentence is a pretty uphill battle these days.
Well, it is. On the other hand, they're already putting a lot of resources into this problem. So if they could deal with the problem more effectively, conceivably in the long term, this would save them some resources. As I said, Congress needs to weigh in on this. If nothing else, IRS would require additional funding to implement some of these approaches. And so, again, what we're asking IRS to do is develop some hard estimates of benefits and costs here. Until now, there's been a lot of talk, and the trade-offs associated with these different approaches are understood. But the magnitudes, actual dollar estimates, are what we're missing at this point.
All right, so let's assume $5.8 or $6 billion going out fraudulently. How does that compare on the scale of either uncollected revenue or revenue that's put out wrongly by the IRS. In other words, compared to, say, tax evasion, you know, by international conspirators or this kind of thing. Where does it rank on scale of money that doesn't end up in the Treasury as it should?
Well, it is a somewhat different scale, so it's a good question you're asking. The total tax gap is $385 billion per year. This refund fraud that we're talking about based on ID theft is about $6 billion a year, which is a lot of money, but relative to that tax gap, it's not so large. We are concerned about the ID theft problem getting out of control. It's something that needs to be stopped now before it gets worse. And IRS has a balancing act here. It devotes lots of enforcement resources to the tax gap. As I noted, it's also devoting resources to this ID theft problem. And in a tight budget environment, which it is definitely in, those are some hard choices. The more resources they put into ID theft, the less they can put into other kinds of enforcement efforts.
But having a tax gap of $385 billion on a really good year with some real hard work, that could almost be equal to the deficit.
Yes. Now that the tax gap has been a long, very intractable problem. So the issue there is how much of this you could actually collect. A lot of that tax gap, for example, is small businesses. They owe small amounts of money, but that's spread over millions of small businesses, and so that's very difficult to go after. It's not worth auditing all of those businesses because it costs a lot of money to do each audit, and it's a small amount of money the businesses owe.
So basically it comes to about 10% of the receipts that the IRS does get, roughly. Is it right? $300 billion and $3
trillion? Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
I think I'm doing the math quickly here.
Yes, but no, that's correct.
All right, well, so lots of questions for the IRS. James White is the Director of Tax Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much for joining me.
Glad to talk to you.